Welcome to the Microsoft IT Pro Podcast, a show about Office 365, Azure, and the IT Pro and end user side of life. Each week, we'll discuss a different topic or recent news related to Office 365 and Azure and how it relates to you as an IT Pro. The MS IT Pro Podcast is never longer than 30 minutes, so let's get started. So here we are again, Scott. Another news episode.
These keep creeping up on me.
I know. At least Microsoft gives us lots of stuff to talk about each time.
They do. And they give us something really cool to talk about this time. So let's start out. We're actually going to do a podcast from Ignite, right? At the podcast center?
Yeah. So we got permission to do a live podcast from the podcast center at Ignite. I'm pretty sure at this point in time, it's going to be Thursday, probably afternoon Eastern Standard Time or Eastern Daylight Time. I think our slot is 1 to 2 p.m. on Thursday, September 28th. We're not 100% sure. We'll try to confirm it. Twitter, Facebook. If you're on our mailing list, we'll send you out an email with all the details. If you do listen and you're going to be out at Ignite and you want to meet us, I know for sure I will be there in person. I think Scott should be there in person too. We're still working out a few details, but come watch us be recorded. We're also going to try to stream a live video of it on YouTube and on Facebook. So if you're on YouTube, Facebook, go follow us there and hopefully you can watch us. If you can't catch the live stream, we'll get a recording of it. We'll publish it out as a normal episode after. So it should be pretty fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Like you said, it should be fun. It'll be something new. And we'll see how bad we break that mold with that hour time slot.
Yeah, maybe we'll have to publish it as two episodes, part one and part two.
Nah, we'll just have you record a new
back
opening.
Back.
That'll be fine.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right, cool. So let's keep going and kind of get into some news. So let's knock out the business stuff up front, and then we can kind of talk about some of the improvements to platforms and things like that. So there were a couple announcements that came out kind of on the Gartner side around Microsoft. So they did their latest assessment of content collaboration platforms, and Microsoft ended up as kind of a leader in that top right quadrant in there. And it was specifically around OneDrive, right? And being able to spin up OneDrive for Business and have access to kind of those services and incorporate that into a content collaboration strategy within your organization. But, you know, one of the big things is they win and they do really well on that multi-platform front. So anytime, anywhere, any device still holds true, right? I can do it from web browser, fully responsive. I can be on a mobile app. I can go to my desktop, do sync and kind of have equivalent functionality across there. So that was really nice to see. And they're doing a pretty good job with that one.
Yeah, I agree. I know some people have their gripes with OneDrive for Business. Overall, I really like it. Since they released the new Sync client, I haven't had any problems with it. Probably my biggest gripe with it is it still can be challenging, kind of confusing when it comes to the sharing aspect, especially when it's external. Sharing internal within your organization, not bad. But again, that's my biggest gripe with it. But overall, I'm a fan. I may get hate mail on Twitter or hate messages on Twitter from people, but so be it. It's our podcast. I can say whatever I want to.
Yeah, there you go. You're really taking that one to heart. So one of the other things that came out too, which I think is super exciting because we're kind of always talking about this kind of cloudy, SaaS-based and platform as a service-based world, is Microsoft came out and for the very first time, the kind of Office 365 licensing has eclipsed on-prem licensing for things like Office. So the pendulum's kind of swung the other way, and you're getting more stickiness in kind of the cloud ecosystem and really that SaaS delivery of Office and the Office platform down to folks in the outside world, which I think is great, right? It's going to mean probably, well, I mean, it has meant in the past, kind of some had some detrimental effects on on-prem systems, right? They move at a slower cadence. They don't always have all that good stuff, but it also probably means that you'll see more uptick on the cloud side and even more push to get features and functionality out there faster, stronger, better.
Yeah, I love this aspect too. I love having all my stuff in the cloud, getting those features faster. So to see that Office 365 suite continuing to grow, it's exciting. It means we're going to keep investing in it.
I think that's about it for the businessy stuff. Let's get into some kind of features and functionality that's come out. So we've talked about teams in the past and kind of what goes in there and kind of group deployment and associating with the team and all that good stuff. So Microsoft announced that there's going to be a new feature coming to Teams, and that's going to be apps for Microsoft Teams, right? So you're going to have this new capability where you're going to, or really on the ISV side, or you, if you're developing these things, you're going to be able to basically package up as a collection bots, tabs, connectors, if you've put any extensions in place, you know, you have custom notifications, things like that, put it all into kind of one package that can go out, and then a team can take advantage of that.
Yeah, I've been playing with this for quite a while. There are a lot of apps out there already. I was able to get access to this a while ago. I actually didn't realize this, but if you have downloaded the Team client for your desktop, or even in Teams Online, if you click on your little picture icon down in the lower left-hand corner and go to About and turn on the developer preview, again, you're living on the edge. It's a developer preview, but apps have been in there for quite a while. They have a lot of stuff in there. Like you said, they kind of took, before it was add a new tab, add a new bot, they've kind of tried to bundle it all up into this whole idea of the apps. I haven't taken the time to count, but it's a lot. They have stuff like Facebook Dynamics. I think GitHub is in here. You can even tie into things like Asana, Bitbucket, Kayak. There's an Azure bot. We talked about that one before, but lots of apps here that really can help enhance that whole team experience and bring all of your tools into that central channel or team that you work within, so you can get all your stuff in one place.
Just like before, you're going to have some operational and admin controls over all this stuff. So being able to say, hey, I don't want to allow external apps at all. Maybe I only want to sideload and do my corporate apps, those kinds of things. Whether you even want like new external apps by default. So in the past where we talked about like going in and maybe like turning on and off some of those third-party storage providers, you'll probably want to hop in and take a look at this app side of things as well and decide what you want to do. A lot of the integrations, like you said, are pretty interesting. I tend to think things like the Office Store are pretty much a dumpster fire. There's not a lot of great stuff in there, particularly when it comes to like add-ons for SharePoint or things like that. But the team space has been pretty clean so far because it's so new. You know, your mileage may vary and you might want to see where that falls out for you organizationally.
Yep. So there was another interesting announcement around Teams and some integration with Outlook. So if you're on Windows now and you have both Outlook 2016 installed as well as Microsoft Teams, there is a new add-in that will show up automatically for you in Outlook that lets you schedule a Microsoft Team meeting from within Outlook. So just like you could schedule a Skype for Business meeting previously, if you wanted to do that, now you can also have the option to do a Teams meeting. So it now shows up in the team, has the meeting in Teams, and you can go right into Teams and start that meeting. They said it's coming to the Mac too. I don't know how far out it is. Again, the add-in will show up automatically if you have those two installed. It doesn't mean you have to leave it there. Just like with everything, you do have some control over it. You can go in, you can turn off the add-in if you want to. But it's kind of a nice feature if you're looking to leverage those teams and have some of your meetings in Teams a little bit more.
You know, the ecosystem, like you said, continues to grow and kind of come out there. And hopefully they can start to get this stuff out like faster and faster and faster. It's a little bit weird with the Teams one because you do have the, now you get the Skype button and you have the Teams button. And if I'm creating a team meeting and it's creating a Skype meeting, why is it doing both, right? So you'll have some education to do with kind of your users if they do consume Teams and that service today to kind of guide them along and get them to where they need to be.
One other news. So some SharePoint stuff. We both have a love-hate relationship with SharePoint due to how long we've both been working with it.
Yeah, I love to hate it.
Yeah, exactly. It has that unique place in our hearts. They've improved SharePoint links and announcement lists. So this kind of goes back to the whole modern UI stuff. It's been an interesting path to watch them make this transition from the classic UI to the modern UI, and the frustrations that people have because they're rolling it out incrementally, so it's not always that uniform experience. Some of the stuff causes it to auto-switch back to the classic experience. In this case, the links and announcement lists now have some they've made some improvements to these lists specifically to help them work better with the modern UI. They're not 100% there yet. So link and announcement lists, well, they have made some updates, still aren't supported by the lists web part in the modern UI. So if you want to add links or updates tied to an announcements on a modern SharePoint page, you still can't tie it to these two list types. You have to use quick links or you have to use the news web part. With this update, these lists will no longer cause you to fall back into classic mode. So essentially, they've enabled a modern UI for it. So that auto fallback is off. You can still choose to go into the classic experience, but now the default experience for these two list types will be that new modern UI experience.
Folks should go read the announcement for this one, because this is one of those announcements that you'll love to hate. it walks down the path of, hey, last year we did quick links and news. By the way, we recognize those don't do everything you need to do, so we're finally getting around to doing the other stuff, but we still recommend you we use the new stuff, which we know doesn't do the old stuff, but we don't want you to use the old stuff because we've got the new stuff, right? It's like crystal clear messaging and just a great weird place to be in. Realistically, if you've already gone down the path of modern team sites and you're using modern pages and those kinds of things, you've either learned to live with the limitations or you've probably hopefully already converted over to quick links or news or those kind of things to get stuff to where it needs to be.
Another new SharePoint announcement is they've added some new theming options for SharePoint sites in Office 365 and SharePoint Online. What's going on with some of these new theming options for SharePoint?
The product team continues to give you things you did not ask for. we're cranking on all cylinders here. So when they did the SharePoint Virtual Summit last year, this year, I can't even remember now. It's all blending together. They started talking about kind of having a couple new look and feel options coming in. So, I think most people took that to mean, hey, let's bring back like composed looks and themes and all those kinds of things. Well, this is not that. This is basically, hey, you go ahead and say, I want to change the look of my site, and then you can change some colors, right? I think there's like 10 or 12 colors you can cycle through and just go ahead and you want to make your site purple? Cool. Go ahead and make it purple. This is kind of an annoying one. I didn't see any ways to like block this, right? So like I have corporate branding in mind, but now I can't stop users from doing those themes like I would on like a regular SharePoint site. And, you know, they're coming through and doing colors and all that kind of stuff. Again, it's there. It's super basic. Not too much to write home about right now.
Yeah. Well, if you don't want users to do it, just send them over to My Tenant, because I still don't have it on My Tenant.
Oh, perfect. I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah, because My Tenant works so well. We've never had any problems with My Tenant.
Yeah, no, never, ever, ever happened that way. Getting outside of SharePoint a little bit, there were a couple of things that happened around groups. But before we get into those, let's go ahead and do a word from BitWizards.
You love technology, so do we. You're an experienced IT pro. We respect that. You're a problem solver. We've got clients. You need a tan. We've got a beach. You love Azure. We love Azure. At BitWizards, we've won Florida Trend Magazine's Best Companies to Work For 8 years running and have been a Microsoft Gold partner since 2001. I don't know about you, but it sounds to me like we were meant for each other. Go to bitwizards.com/cloudsmith to introduce yourself.
So we're back. Let's get into kind of some of that group stuff. So there was a new announcement around guest access for groups and being able to manage that with allow and deny, basically block lists. So, you know, depending on where your tenant's at, you said your tenant's kind of janky and doesn't get stuff up to date. But, hopefully you'll see that feature pretty soon. And what you're going to be able to do is set specific domains using PowerShell to go ahead and do, that's it, just allow or deny guest access to groups. So you'll be able to take certain group types, like maybe they have sensitive information, and you can say, hey, I always want to block gmail.com and outlook.com, things like that. Or maybe I have partner-driven processes, and I want to make sure that only my specific external business partners are able to get in and access that stuff.
That's a nice feature. Now that they have block and allow, it'd be nice if they would actually get the external sharing of groups, so the full functionality was there when you shared a group externally. But like you said, at least for some of that content for helping to lock down your environment, this will be a nice feature to have.
Yeah. Wait, you want stuff to work? No, we got to get new stuff before the old stuff works. Just hold your horses.
See, that's my problem. I've always wanted the old stuff to work or stuff to get updated to working. instead of just new stuff. I just have to reset.
You're asking for a whole lot. In the vein of, hey, here's some new stuff that nobody asked for, they went ahead and kicked off the new Azure AD sign-in experience again. Another strange rollout from the identity side of things. So there's going to be a new sign-in page coming. So if you've ever signed into any of the consumer services lately, they've got like the big sign-in block in the middle of the page now, the pretty background picture kind of surrounds it and flows out and does all those things. That's going to be coming over to Azure AD as well. So you're going to get a prompt when you go to sign in on your pages now. So, you know, you just go to portal.office.com. Before you do home run discovery or any of that, there's going to be a little pop-up says, do you want to try out the new experience? If you've done any custom branding in Azure AD or anything like that, you're definitely going to want to go in there and hit try it out just to see what it does. All it does is set a cookie. So if you want to go back to the old experience, just go ahead and clear your cache, dump your cookies, open your browser, and you'll be back up and running and good to go. This should really streamline things, make it consistent login experience between MSAs and org accounts, which will be hopefully a good thing. Hopefully organizations that have the ability to have gone out there and done like the custom branding on Azure AD, things like that, just to give their users kind of a better idea of where they are and where they're landing at.
Yeah, this one was kind of funny. So they actually rolled this out or started rolling this out to some tenants before there was any news that hit any of the blogs or any of the sites. I was watching, I can't even remember where it was, but I was watching a thread of comments where someone was like, hey, this little pop-up showed up to try this new sign-in experience. What is this? And nobody could find any information about what it was. And like 2 or 3 days later, this announcement popped out that this was in preview.
So you know why that happened, right?
I do not.
So
educate me.
In the link to the blog, there's a guy, Alex Simmons, kind of the product manager on that group. So they screwed up a rollout with the identity stuff a couple months ago, and they had to pull it back really quick. And they said, hey, we're never going to do this again, because when your users can't sign in, that's a really bad freaking thing, right? This is not good. And same thing happened with this one. So they pushed it out. If you happen to have a user that did something like, hey, sign in with this new experience, well, now clients that don't support modern authentication all broke. So you'd have to go and literally dump your cookies and your Windows creds and things like that to get like your Office 2010 clients back up and running so they could sign into their services. Not great, right? So anyway, the product group, they came out and they committed and they said, hey, we're going to communicate these things. We're always going to give you like at least 30 days notice and push it out. This one just, of course, went out the door with no communication. So if you read the blog post and go down into the comments, Alex talks a little bit about they were actually ready. They were going to push it out. They were going to talk about it. They were going to socialize it. And the dev teams flighted it before they were ready to talk about it. So now they had to go back and scramble and do it again, right? Because the left hand didn't know what the right was doing. So literally dev pushed it out. It went out into prod and went out into tenants. And nobody on kind of the actual delivery side knew what was going on. and they had to come back and pick up the pieces. So, you know, unfortunately, that team ends up with like egg on their face again. I think they're trying to do the right thing, but they do have to talk a lot more. Because it's just like, it's monumentally bad when you're pushing out things that prevent people from accessing your services, right? If the goal is consumption and people can't consume, you've done screwed up.
So it's just kind of ironic that all of this stuff is related to a Microsoft collaboration solution.
It's great. Nobody
We've
really
got
uses
these
Office.
Great tools for communicating with people within your organization, but we don't communicate? Yeah, I don't know.
Yep.
We won't make fun of them too much that it does pay our bills, right?
Yeah, no, I think it's hard, but oh man, you really got to watch out for this stuff and be ready to pivot and communicate to your users and, you know, inform your help desks and things like that.
Yeah.
So moving on, one of the other new features that came out is forms came out fully to all first release tenants, whether you are first release for the whole organization or first release for select users. So if you haven't done this yet, you can go ahead and if you do have FR enabled users, or again, your whole tenant, go ahead and go over to forms.microsoft.com and you too can start spinning up forms. You might have some configuration you want to do. If you haven't thought about how you're going to deploy forms out there, you might want to watch the licensing and entitling side of things and make some customizations to SKU packs there. And the other thing is go into your services and add-ins in the Office 365 Admin Center and decide if you want to allow like anonymous access and forms and things like that as well.
Yeah. So another couple features. We talked about OneDrive making it into that top quadrant in the for Gartner. They also came out with some additional updates this month. So one of the big ones for me, I'm on iOS, so they pushed out OneDrive 9.1 to iOS devices. And this actually included, it sounds like as I read about this, it includes kind of the underlying infrastructure in this app or the underlying code in this app to enable a few things. Some improved scanning of documents. So take a picture, do some cropping, rotating, push those up into OneDrive if you want to work on going paperless. Kind of cool. I actually use that a ton for receipts and stuff. But another three of them actually are offline folders. So now in OneDrive for iOS, the capability will be there to take certain folders, files, folders in particular, offline on your phone. So if you're on iOS, you're going to get on a plane, you don't want to pay for Wi-Fi on the plane, or let's face it, it's really slow. You can't always download everything you need to while you're on the plane. You can take some of that stuff offline. Another one is some improvements around sharing capabilities, specifically around granting people temporary access to a file. So that's there. And then it sounds like they labeled it discovering interesting documents. So within your work or school account, helping you discover new interesting files, documents, what people are working around. Essentially, this sounds like Delve within the OneDrive app on your iOS device. The really interesting thing is they said all of these are available in the app update, but they're not all on or work yet in that app. So over the course of the next few weeks, months, they'll be actually turning these features on so that these features will start to work in the app itself. So again, it sounds like that underlying framework is there, but just because you update to OneDrive 9.1 on your iOS device doesn't mean you'll see all of those. So don't go looking for them all right away. They'll be coming.
They've been cranking along and doing the apps and things, and they are doing a good job on that side. They also did some other OneDrive things. So they added a new status indicator for shared folders on the web side of OneDrive. So, you know, depending on where you're at with rollout, you should be seeing this very shortly if you're not already. And it's basically going to be at the end of the breadcrumb. They're going to give you kind of a new icon to and glyph to let you know that, hey, I am in a shared folder, and be able to hop straight in to manage access from there rather than having to hop up the breadcrumb trail, go to the parent folder, and then do the ellipsis and manage access and all that kind of stuff. So hopefully making it a little bit easier to get around inside of OneDrive.
Yeah, another nice feature. So back to SharePoint. I'm going to jump back to SharePoint on you a minute. There was one other option to actually now allow or restrict the ability to embed content on SharePoint pages. With the HTML field security for SharePoint Online now, you can actually go in and set a list of allowed domains or blocked domains for embedded content. So if people go into their site, want to insert an iframe and say link it to YouTube. Maybe you found that on all your SharePoint sites, you're ending up with all kinds of YouTube videos. Or maybe you just want to allow users to do embeds from things like Bing and Power BI and Sway and Docs. This is some additional security there where you can set those domain lists of what can actually be embedded in an iframe within your SharePoint site. So we'll link up to the show notes for this one. They do have a list of URLs that are enabled by default. But again, you can go in, customize, add, remove from this list as you want to make sure you don't get any crazy, unexpected content embedded within your SharePoint site.
This one's actually been available for a while in regular SharePoint sites. So you've always had the HTML field security and kind of default content embed list, and you've always been able to make those changes. This one specifically, I think, focuses on sites based on the group template. So that group pound zero template, because you can't change the HTML field security on those sites. So if you've been a consumer of things like Office 365 groups and the associated SharePoint site, and you did did want to embed from, say, like Office 365 video, well, that wasn't an allowable embed source and you couldn't make the change. So now they've added to that default URL list, so it will be available. You still can't change it in group sites, but you can change it in SharePoint sites, just like you've always been able to along the way. So it's good to see the list grow. I really do wish that they would add it to group sites and just let you change the HTML field security straight up like you can in a regular SharePoint site, because sometimes you do want to embed, you know, like a calendar from a third-party service. Like, there's all sorts of things that are not YouTube, right, that allow for embedding. And if you're doing like a team-driven process, a collaborative thing, you leverage a third-party service, it makes group sites impossible to use because it doesn't let you do those things. So it's a gap that's there. You know, they're starting to fill it with their own services. Hopefully they can open that up more over time.
Yeah. So we have time for maybe a couple more announcements. One other thing along the lines of groups that I wanted to hit on was you can now configure Office 365 groups for expiration. So this essentially lets you go in, specify these groups, because if you're like some of my clients, everybody's going out, they're creating groups. It's kind of like the old SharePoint thing too, where you would have users creating sites. I'd gone into clients and they had like 6,000 sites in their SharePoint environment, and they thought they only had a few hundred because they just didn't keep an eye on it. Now, within your environment, you can actually go in and set expiration for these groups. So after a certain period of time, the group owners will actually get notifications. You can do looks like 30 days, 15 days, and 1 day prior to the expiration of the group. And the group owners can say, hey, yes, we want to keep this group around. We need to renew this group. Don't delete it yet. Or if they don't have any response to it, if nobody cares about it anymore, this group can just be expired, be deleted. It helps you kind of keep that environment clean so you don't have all these unused groups just hanging around in your SharePoint or in your Office 365 environment.
A couple of things to keep in mind. This does require Azure Active Directory Premium, so either a P1 or P2, to be able to go ahead and push that out. And when it does come into GA, it's going to require those as well. So it's not like they're going to giveth and taketh away. You know, do keep that in mind. And also, if you do turn this on, expiration notices for existing groups will go out immediately. So if you have a bunch of groups that have been up for like more than 180 days and that's what you set in as the expiration, all of those are immediately going to get an email that's going to say, hey, if your group's expiring, please go ahead and approve it, things like that. So you might want to communicate that to your users before you go ahead and turn that one on.
You mean you don't want to just spam all your users unexpectedly that all their groups are going to expire?
I mean, I like to, and then I like to unplug my phone so that the help desk can't get a hold of me and you know, all that good stuff. But I think that takes us to time, right?
All right. That is correct. Hope everyone has a great day, and we will talk to you again next week.
Great. Thanks, Ben.
Thanks, Scott. If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.